Are you a person of good judgment? When people think of you, do they think of you as a person who makes wise choices? We're in a series in the book of 1 Corinthians entitled Wise Up, Clarifying Confusion with God's Wisdom. And the church at Corinth had so much confusion, and they needed to have God's wisdom brought to bear in their situation. And the Apostle Paul, in the passage that we'll address today, helps them to know how to make good decisions, how to become people of good judgment. And you'll find that if you'll follow what God says here, that you will become a person who will be known as a person of good judgment that makes wise decisions. So turn with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we will address in the entirety of the passage that begins in verse 23 and will continue through chapter 11, verse 1. But we will read together just one verse from this passage of Scripture aloud in just a moment, and it's verse 31 of this chapter. So you found 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Would you stand with me, please? And we're going to read together aloud as a congregation one verse, a verse that you probably will know or maybe will know. But if you don't know it, it'll be a great scripture for you to help you in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Are you ready? Let's lift our voices and read the word of God together. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray and ask God to help us, all right? Now, Lord, in our congregation today, there are people who have come because they're seeking you, and there's no question you are seeking each of us. And as we come together in this place, the people of this congregation, I think, really want to make good decisions. They want to have good judgment. Now, unless you help us to see the truth for what it is, and your Spirit helps us to see ourselves and helps us to be so open with you and yielded to you, unless you do this work, we cannot understand and become people of good judgment. And so, God the Spirit, it is our desire that where each of us is, that in these minutes we have together, you would intersect our lives with what you are doing and your truth, and that the Holy Spirit would wonderfully and powerfully speak to us. So I ask for your help as the preacher, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. I ask for your help for myself as a hearer and all of our congregation as hearers. And so we ask God for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, up to this point in the passage of Scripture that we're addressing, God was dealing with the people of Corinth who were making personal choices that sometimes weren't the best choices. And not just for their own lives, but they were making choices in their lives that impacted the lives of other people. And sometimes their decisions that they made were adversely impacting other people. And so God earlier in this passage helped these people who were, and many times didn't even know it, were off track, and he helped them to get on track. But here's the question you have to ask. Whenever sometimes you get off track, and everybody gets off track sometimes, and God gets you back on track, how do you stay on track? Do you want to stay on track? Sure. How do you stay on track? And the answer to staying on track is to be a person of good judgment, to make wise decisions. That's how you stay on track. So in this portion of Scripture, God laid a foundation, a strong biblical foundation for making wise choices. And then God, in the portion we'll address today, gives us important principles for making wise choices. That is, how to become a person of good judgment. Because that's really what you're after. You want to be known as a person of good judgment. You want to be a person that makes wise choices. But how do I become that kind of a person? And God tells us how in this portion of Scripture. In fact, he gives us four reasons why people of good judgment are people of good judgment. People of good judgment, that is, they make wise decisions, are people of good judgment because, first, the biblical principles they live by. People of good judgment are people of good judgment because of the biblical principles they live by. In fact, in chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, God shares with us three biblical principles by which people of good judgment live. Here's the first. People of good judgment choose that which is best. People of good judgment choose that which is best. See, in life, there are different choices you have to make. Sometimes the choice is between good and bad, right? Right and wrong, based on what God's word says. Good and bad, right or wrong. And that's one choice you make. But not all of your choices in life are about good and bad. Sometimes your choices are about what is better and what is best. Now, the way God tells us this, you want to notice verse 23. God says, by inspiration of Spirit, as Paul writes, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. He says, you know, there are a lot of choices I can make, and I have liberty to make a lot of choices. There are all kinds of things that I could make choices about in my life, but not all of my choices are expedient choices. That is, they are not all good choices. And people that are people of good judgment, when faced with the choice of good and bad, always choose good. When faced with the choice of better and best, always choose or consistently choose the best. Now, when you read this, does that sound familiar to you? Wouldn't surprise me if it would, because earlier in this book, the Apostle Paul says the exact same thing. He's talking about a different subject, but he lays forth the exact same words. In chapter 6, verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Now, in chapter 6, verse 12, he's dealing with a subject that is a very significant subject for everybody in any time, in any place. And in Corinth, which was such an immoral city, it was very significant. And in our culture, which is becoming a very immoral culture, it's significant as well. Because in the context of 1 Corinthians 6, 12, is dealing with the subject of sexuality and making wise sexual choices. So the issue there was between good and bad. And when faced with good or bad, make the expedient choice, the best choice, and choose the good. And now, in chapter 10, verse 23, there's another subject. The subject here is the choices that I'm making. And this is not a choice between good and bad. It's a choice between better and best. And people that are people of good judgment consistently take the high road, and when faced with better or best, choose the best. That's how you become a person of good judgment. It's another step from good and evil, or good and bad, right and wrong, to better or best. And you know, in your life, it's probably time for you, if you're at a point where you have to decide good or bad, right or wrong, which am I going to do? But then as you grow in the Lord and you grow in your walk with God, now you begin to make other choices, better and best. How many of you like to build? Who likes to build? Who likes to build? All right. How many of you at some point have worked maybe in construction, that kind of a field? Yeah, I grew up doing all that stuff. Did you know that God is interested in construction? He is. In fact, you'll see it, chapter 10, verse 23, again. He begins with, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And then he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. See, edify is a building term. Jesus used it to describe someone who built a house. Jesus used it to describe someone that built a tower. And now he tells us about somebody who's building a track record of good judgment. And he reminds us of this principle that people who are people of good judgment are people of good judgment because they choose that which builds. You see, people of good judgment realize that the choice that they make in their life not only impacts their own lives, but other people's lives. How many of you know that's true, that when people make choices, often it impacts our life, but our choices impact other people's lives? How many of you know what it's like to have made a foolish choice or a wise choice and you live with the blessing or the cursing of it? And how many of you know what it's like when somebody in your life makes a foolish or a wise choice and you have to live with the blessing or the cursing of it, right? People that are people of good judgment make a choice in their life, and when they make those choices, they choose the choice that not only builds their lives, but builds up others. People of good judgment consistently choose to be a builder. Now, what about you? Are you a person that is making choices that I want to be a builder? Are you consistently choosing not even what I want, but what helps build others and what's going to honor God in the life, the choices that I make? Then there's one more principle that people of good judgment live by and they make their decisions by. They choose that which is best. They choose that which builds. And then the third principle by which people of good judgment live is they choose that which blesses. So look at verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Think well-being. See, they make their choices not just for their own selves, but they make their choices considering what is going to be best in the choice that I make for myself now in this matter. What is going to be best for the other people in my life? It's not about me. It's about what's best for them and how I can bless them by the choices that I make. And you think about your choices. The choice that I make now, when I make this choice, how can that bless the people in my home? How can that bless the people I work with? How can the choice that I'm making now bless my spouse if I'm married? How can it bless other people? How can it bless other families? How can it bless my church family? How can the decision I'm making now bless my lost friend and help my lost friend that I'm seeking to win for Christ? What will it do for the testimony of Jesus Christ? Now, let me ask you this question. If a person consistently made choices based on what's best, what builds, and what blesses, do you think that you would think of that person to be, or think that person to be a person of good judgment? Sure you would. I'm going to tell you, you can be that person. You can be that person. Why is that so? Because you're making choices based on biblical principle. Well, you know, I think. Now, hold on a second. I appreciate what you think, but wait, really what you need to stop and do is say, what does God say about this subject and what does God think? Well, you know, I really feel like, well, wait, listen, I understand your feelings. How many of you know that if you live on your feelings, you're in big trouble? No, what does the Bible principle say about this? Well, you know, I sort of think that this would really work if, and hold on a second, I'm okay with things working, but you always have to come back. What's the Bible principle? People that make good decisions, people of good judgment, always make their decisions, or should I say consistently, giving us all a little bit of room to mess up once in a while. Some of you don't need that room. Ooh, boy, bless your heart. I need all the room I can get. But people that are people of good judgment consistently make decisions based on biblical principle. And that's probably the reality that God wants to do in your life, because maybe God is helping you to see some things, and you lived on your feeling, you lived on what you think, you lived on the wisdom of everybody else, you've lived on all kinds of things, and along the way you have not begun to make decisions based on Bible principle. Then you wonder, how did I get here? Well, no wonder. And you're beginning to see it. How did I get here? Now you know why. Because people of good judgment make their choices based on biblical principle. All right, people of good judgment are people of good judgment because the biblical principles they live by. Here's the second reason people of good judgment are good people of good judgment. People of good judgment are people of good judgment because the practical applications they make. You see, people of good judgment take the principles that by which they live and they apply this truth without reservation, without excuse to every area of their life. They grow from principle to practice. They grow from knowledge to wisdom. They grow from facts to function. They go from acknowledging the truth to living the truth. And in this passage, God shows us how to do so. You think, how do I make application of the truth so that my life is going to be changed? And in this passage, God gives us three steps to life-changing application. This is how your life is going to be changed. It's how you're going to become a person of good judgment. There are three steps that God walks us through and tells us to life-changing application. Here's the first. Anticipate the possible applications. See, God's showing you something that's true. He's showing you a truth. He's showing you something about yourself. He's seeing you see things that I just didn't see it this way. And God is dealing with me and I'm growing in this. And now God shows you a truth and you begin to think, okay, now what are the situations in my life where this may become something that is to be applied and I can use this in this situation. I can know how to handle this situation over here and I can, how it works in my family, how it works in my workplace, what it means for me in my own walk with God. And you think all that through. Now, the way God does this for us is he shows us, for the Corinthian believers, Paul helps them to see two cases that they would be very realistic situations in which they would live for them to help to see the truth in the light of it. The first case is a case of going to the grocery store. They're going to the Aldi in Corinth, or they're going to the Publix. I don't know if there'd be a food line in Corinth, but so you read about it, chapter 10, verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, it's a word that's only used one time in the New Testament. Think of the grocery store, the market. Whatsoever is sold in Publix in Corinth, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So you're going to the Publix and in Corinth, and you go through the vegetables, and you go through one area, and I don't know if they had canned goods, but you go through the jarred goods, and the next thing you know, you come to the meat section. And remember, meat was a real question. You don't know, was this meat offered to idols? Is it, where'd it come from? It could have been offered to idols and they just picked it up at the sale and they're reselling it. It could have been the farmer outside the city. And he's been raising his cattle, raising his sheep or whatever. And he's bringing his meat to market and he's just a vendor for this store. And you don't know where it came from. And God says, you know what? You don't know where it came from? Just eat it and enjoy it. He quotes Psalm 24:1. God's given us all these things. Enjoy it. Don't get all stressed out. Where did the meat come from? Just enjoy it. Ignorance is bliss. And some of us are very blissful, I'm afraid, at times. Just enjoy it. So you go to the grocery store, but then he tells us something else, another case that you have to consider. That'd be very realistic, but there's another realistic case that he's anticipating. He's anticipates a dinner party. And so we read verse 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, you be disposed to go. You have a friend who's not yet a believer. They invite you to the house. We're going to have a dinner party. Come on over. Yeah, great. I'm going to go. Great fun. Get to be together. And it says in verse 27, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for the conscience sake. And they're going to pass around the food. And don't ask where it came from. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy it. But wait a minute. Verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. See, it could be maybe the host. And remember the place of meat, very important to them, even in their worship, if you're a pagan person. And maybe the host even says, hey, listen, we just picked this up from the temple. We made a sacrifice over at the temple of whoever, and this is the meat that's left over for us, and we're going to serve it to you as part of our worship. Now, hold on a second. What do? You don't want to offend the host, but on the other hand, they mention it for a reason, because they know you're a follower of Christ. See, you represent more than just you. You represent Christ. What am I going to do? He said, when the meat plate comes, just pass it along. Fill up with vegetables. Fill up with maybe the other meat that has been offered to idols, but that's not one for you to eat. It might have been that the other person was another friend, another believer. And here you are sitting down and ready for dinner, and your friend says, hey, I heard him talking back there about the steak that we're going to have, and they said it's offered to idols. What are you going to do? What does God say? When the meat plate is passed, what do? Pass it along. Because, hey, what about this other believer? They're looking to you for leadership, and your choice could adversely affect them. You see, we know it's just meat, but remember what Paul already told us. Just being around that place and around could be very much a problem in their own life. The temptation to draw them back to the old ways, it could really undermine even your testimony with them and the influence you could have on that person's life. So it's not, just go ahead and pass it along. And then he says the same thing. He quotes Psalm 24:1. And he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So whether you take it and enjoy it or whether you pass it, you're happy to do so. Because all of this is God's. You enjoy the privilege of enjoying it, and you enjoy the privilege of passing it up so that you can bless another person. See, all of these are realistic possibilities that a person living in Corinth could have to face. Now, for you, you may not have all of that, but you've got some realistic possibilities. You have a business meeting at a restaurant, and they're going to serve alcohol. What are you going to do? You have a school function, and there are things at that school function that aren't going to be honoring and pleasing to God. It's going to be a problem in your spiritual life and for your testimony for Christ. What are you going to do? Summertime's coming, and you're going to have the big block party. How are you going to handle it when they pull out the Budweiser? Your family is getting together, and your family doesn't know Christ. How are you going to handle it when you are put in those difficult situations? See, people that make good decisions, one of the things they do is they anticipate the situations in which they will find themselves, and they begin to think, hey, what should I do? What does God have to say about it? And so that's the first step, anticipate the possible applications. But here's the next step, identify the important issues. So he tells us in chapter 10, verse 29, conscience, I say, and not thine own, but of the other. What's the real, is the issue, the big, is the big deal the steak itself? No, not really. The big deal is the conscience of somebody else. And what happens when I make my choice on how my life impacts that other person? See, that's the big issue. Now, there are some things that are good or bad, and there is no question. Whatever it is, you say, I'm going into this situation, and I know because it is, God says, don't even, in the book of the Proverbs, when it comes to, say, alcoholic wine, don't even look at it. That's pretty clear. Don't look at it. It's, Don't even go that far. See, that's a pretty easy one for people of discernment. But there are some other issues that are pretty tricky. How am I going to do this? What's the impact? There are some other things. It's not really going to matter. Probably it's not going to matter if you have your sweet tea. So that's okay. But what's the issue? Discerning people, people of good judgment, consider the issue. And then they take the next step after identifying the important issues. In fact, I'll say this. You say, well, how important is that? I'll tell you how important it is. The Apostle Paul, with this particular issue about eating meat, it was so important to him, and he understood how important this was to other people in Corinth and their particular cultural situation. He says this, chapter 8, verse 13, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Wow. It's that important to him. And then there's a third step for people to make life-changing applications, and that is this: anticipate the possible implications. See, you're making decisions. Here's a situation. You identify the issues. And now, before you make that decision, begin to think about what are the implications of this choice that is before me. In fact, Paul raises two questions to anticipate the questions a believer might ask when they read this. Maybe it's Sunday morning and the people are gathering together, and the pastor says, "Hey, everybody, just got this letter from Paul. Let's read it together in church." He reads this portion of it, and he's thinking, what in the world are the people going to think when they hear it read? And we now, centuries later, the same question. When you begin to think about what the implications of your choices, there are some questions that are raised. The first one, read about in verse 29. He begins, "Conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other." And then here's the question: "For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?" Does this mean that my liberty to make wise choices is influenced by another person's conscience? Absolutely it is. Sure. But wait a second. They have their liberty. I have to stand. Yes, but wait a minute. Your choice has influenced somebody else. So you'd better believe that it matters what their conscience matters in your decisions and my decisions. Then he asks a second question. You read it in verse 30. "For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks?" He says, you know, I can participate and be grateful and make my choices, and I can be thankful to God for all of this. Why should I why should somebody even think less of me because of the choices that I make in my liberty when I can do it with such gratitude? Say, wait a minute, you need to stop and think of your choices and of the other people in your life and the impact of your choices on them. And I want you to also think in terms of the long-term implications. How many of you have had somebody in your life make a very unwise choice that has caused adverse implications in your life? How many of you have had that happen? I think all of us have. How many of you wish that that person, before they ever made that choice, would have stopped and thought it through to think through the implications? Don't you wish they would have? And that's true for all of us, because all of us have decisions to make that have implications that are far beyond the moment, and they're far beyond ourselves. So before you decide what you're going to do, you need to think, what would this mean to the people around me? What could this mean in the future? What if my influence causes somebody to make an unwise choice, even though I'm free to make this choice, but my choice causes them to make an unwise choice, and they make an unwise choice, and then look at all the implications that could mean for that in that person's life and the people around their life. You see, people that make good applications are people that think all of these things through when they make the choice today. If you'd say, you know, Pastor, I sure wish I would have made some better choices back when. Can't change those. But I tell you what, there's never a bad day to make a good choice and a good decision and have good judgment. So since you can't change that anyway, how about if we all just say, let's today start making good judgment, the choices we make. So let's think this through a little bit when you're making applications, and think of it this way. You anticipate possible applications, you identify the important issues, and you anticipate the possible implications. So let's say that God is dealing with you about the subject of holiness. God is a holy God. It means that He is free from sin. He is distinct and unique. And God says this, be holy for I am holy. And when you are called into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, He calls us to emulate His character of holiness. And you've been thinking about holiness. You've read it in your time with God. And you're thinking this through and you're saying, Lord, what does that mean for my life? And then you begin to think about this and you say, okay, since you say, be holy for I am holy, let's think about what are the possibilities. Well, how about some entertainment choices that I'm making? You're thinking through some issues. What about some personal choices about places I go? And maybe I have to, that's going to influence some things about some of the people that are in my life. And you start thinking about all the possibilities that now, as a person who is seeking to emulate God's holiness, that now you're going to have to think through. And then you identify, how important is it? Well, God's being holy, because God is holy, representing Him, is of high importance. But in this particular case, it may not mean this or that or this or that. And you have to evaluate what's really important here. And then you have to think, okay, if I make this choice, what are the implications for good, for bad? What could it mean? As you do all that, then you're beginning to become a person who's going to make good judgment. You're thinking the issues through, and you're thinking it through biblically. That's the way to make good judgments. All right. People that are people of good judgment are people of good judgment because the biblical principles they live by, they're people of good judgment because the personal applications they make, they're people of good judgment because, thirdly, the personal priorities they choose. And in chapter 10, verses 31 to 33, God tells us about three priorities that people that make, that are people that make good judgments, these are things that are important to them because they're important to God. And when they make their choices, they always have these in mind. Here's the first of the three priorities. The first is the glory of God, and that's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's say it again together. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It means that I, as a person who is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that I represent Him in everything that I do, and I want to make sure that I accurately portray Him for who He is. And in life, if you want to become a person of good judgment, this has to stop being about what works for you or what you think is best or what you prefer. Always it means that you're going to have to stop and think, what in this decision that I'm making, it's about the glory of God. How am I presenting Him? And I want to make a decision that pleases Him and magnifies Him and glorifies Him more than anything else. The glory of God. Then there's a second priority. Beside the glory of God, there's the good of others in verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. You see, there are three groups of people that he's addressing that were part of the culture of Corinth and the part of the church. There's the Jewish culture, and the Jewish people had a very unique culture and unique issues to them as Jewish people. When you make a decision, you have to be aware that there are Jewish people in my life that I need to be aware that my choices could affect them. And then you had not just the Jew, but you had the Gentile. Now, the Gentiles of Corinth had a very different worldview. They had very different issues and very different situations. But as a person that's trying to make a good decision, I need to stop and think. There are Jewish people, and I influence them. There are Gentile people, and I influence them. And then you have the Church of God. And the Church of God is made up of Jewish people that have been redeemed and Gentile people that have been redeemed. And we all come from different places. We have different backgrounds. We have different points in our life where we are in the journey. Some are brand newly born again. Others are people that have been saved for a little while, and they all come from different places. And with all of this said, he says, listen, you need to stop and think, because all of those people are people that you influence, and you need to know that you need to put the good of people above even what's good for you. What's best for them is more important than what's best for me. And it isn't that you gripe and complain about it. No. In reality, if you really want to be free, you are glad to willingly and joyfully, if need be, limit your liberty for the blessing of somebody else. That's what people of good judgment do. Then there's something else. Another priority, it's the good of the glory of God and the good of others. But then there is verse 33, my gospel witness. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is not selfish manipulation, but selflessly making choices to limit my liberty to reach out to others. James T. Dyett, in his book that he wrote on 1 Corinthians entitled Building a Winning Team, tells the story of a converted Muslim that really caught the spirit of Paul's behavior. Let me read to you his testimony as Dyett wrote it. This man says, since I've been saved, I know that keeping various laws of my religion did not help one bit. One is not saved by keeping the law or observing the many practices. We were not allowed to eat any pork because it was said to defile us. After I was saved, I realized that this was foolish. However, you ask me why I don't eat ham or pork or bacon now? I'm not under the law. I can be free. But when I return to my people, they will ask me if I have eaten any pork. If I say yes, then I've lost my opportunity to win them for Christ. For their sake, for the sake of their salvation, I am depriving myself of something perfectly permissible to eat. People of good judgment are people of good judgment because the biblical principles they live by, because the practical applications they make, because the personal priorities they choose, and finally, because the people they listen to and follow. Now, normally in our scriptures, the chapter headings are not inspired. They were added later, chapters and verses, for our convenience, and aren't you glad for that? Boy, can you imagine trying to work through a passage without them? Boy. And so this paragraph really ends at the end of chapter 11, verse 1, rather than the end of chapter 10. And the Apostle Paul says to these brothers and sisters in Corinth, and he says it to us as we read it, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, people of good judgment are people of good judgment because they listen to and follow the right people. Now, how many of you know there are some people who give you advice and they'll lead you the wrong way every time? You know what I mean? But you want to stop and think before you make your decision. You know, there's somebody I know that seems to make really good judgment. I wonder what she would think about that. I wonder how she would approach it. I've seen how my friend who's in the Lord, I've watched him whenever he has these after hours dinner meetings at our workplace, and I've watched how he's navigated through that situation in order to be there and to fulfill his obligations and still maintain his testimony for Christ. And you watch, how does he do it? And that helps you to know how to do it. People of good judgment are people of good judgment because of the people they listen to and follow. And you know, you've got an awful lot of people around you here that have good judgment. So how about if you listen and follow? It'll help you to become a person of good judgment. Can I give you some advice about who you listen to? Here's my advice, because today God the Holy Spirit has taken his word and he's been speaking to your heart. Make a good decision today. Make a good judgment. Listen to his voice. You've not yet come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. He can save you. He will save you. He can free you from the eternal penalty of sin if you'll by faith trust him. He's been dealing with you about this, and finally today is the day. All right, I'm going to make a good decision. I'm going to listen to the voice of God and come to Christ. You're a disciple of the Lord, and now as a follower of Christ, God has intersected this day with some decisions that you're making for yourself, you're making for your family, you're making in your life. And as all of this comes together, God wisely and providentially brought all of this together so that you can hear his voice and begin your path to becoming a person of good judgment by listening and making a good decision today. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. If you have not yet come to Jesus Christ to be saved, you have questions about your soul, where you'll spend eternity, you wonder, you've been thinking about this, God has chosen this day to speak to you in a wonderful way. I'm going to invite you to do this from where you are. In just a minute, the instruments will begin to play. And when they start to play, don't wait. You just step from where you are, and we'll have people waiting. And they'll direct you, if you're a lady, to a lady that will show you how you can know Christ, how you can be saved and sure of it. If you're a man, with a man, because we want you to know him. You can be saved today. That's a good decision. That's a decision you'll never regret. Now let me talk to our friends who are followers of Jesus Christ. You've received him already, but you're making decisions. It may be that God is dealing with you and you're just seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? And this altar is a place where you can say, okay, Lord, I'm seeking you. Would you show me? And if you'll show me, I'll be willing to do what you want to do. It may be that God is even correcting some of your thinking and he's helping you to see the truth for what it is. And so you say, God, I want to make some good decisions. You're speaking to my heart about it now. I hear your voice and I want to listen to you while you're speaking. You can do that where you are, of course, but I'd encourage you to step forward. And you can just, you and the Lord, at one of the steps here, those front chairs, have some time as you seek the Lord. You may want someone to pray with you and just tell one of the men who are here serving, just, I'd like someone to pray with me, and they'll direct someone to pray with you and be an encouragement to you as you make this very significant decision and as you are seeking the Lord on some important things in your life, okay? So the instruments are going to play. This altar is available for you. You just come on and do business with God. Can't think of a better day than today. It's always a good time to make a good decision. You're in the process of considering the decisions that are important to you and they're important to God. And listen to his voice. Follow him. Heed him.